This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
For today's Daylight magazine, we have Your Bible and You, Youth Corner, and Moment of Truth. I'm your presenter, Emanuela Brefumenta, welcoming you to today's magazine. Stay tuned.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is now time for Your Bible and You.
For our reflections, we shall look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 10.
And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said,
"Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear."
And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good.
You just listened to the audio version of Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Keep this in your heart.
Voice of Hope, we will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
Brace yourself for our next segment, Youth Corner.
Namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me. I lead you on.
It's another edition of Youth Corner. We are so glad you joined us. My name is Afre Niamakeke. I'll be your host for today's edition of the program. And we are continuing with our discussion, very interesting one, on skin bleaching. I'm here with Anita Adombuache and Lord Lugard Webu. In our previous discussion, we defined skin bleaching and we also found out why it is so much condemned within Christian circles. And thrashed out some of the justifications people may give to this very practice, that is skin bleaching. Welcome, Anita and Lord.
Thank you.
All right. Before we continue, let's strike the difference between skin toning and skin bleaching. We'll of course be looking at why people bleach, but before that, let's, you know, strike the difference. Is there a difference in the first place?
Well, yes, to some extent. And the difference stems from the purpose. The first one, which has to do with the skin bleaching, is to acquire a skin tone that is not yours.
I don't particularly get it. You said the first one that has to do
the skin whitening or the skin bleaching. You are applying a chemical substance.
We are talking about differences between
skin toning and then skin bleaching.
Skin bleaching. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, and you are talking about skin whitening. It may get
actually
less,
skin whitening is similar to skin bleaching.
Okay. Okay.
And other sometimes you can have lightening, whitening. They are all similar to bleaching. Mm-hmm. And the first one has to, which is the skin bleaching, is done to acquire a skin tone that you don't already have. And then the skin toning is to acquire a skin tone that you have lost. So, for example, because of excessive exposure to sun, age, you have acquired a darker skin tone. People resort to using certain chemicals in order to restore the skin's original tone. But the mistake is that people use bleaching creams to tone their skin. And that is where the problem is. But for most people, they will tell you they are toning their skin, but they are using bleaching creams.
And the fact also, let me just add something, is that some of these skin toning creams end up bleaching the
skin.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And that's where there is a mistake. In fact, there are so many natural ways of toning your skin without harming it. And that's what we don't want. Those ones usually take a longer time. But people want instant results. And that's when they resort to these harmful chemical substances that they use to tone their skins.
Mm. If you don't have any other point to make on that, perhaps we...
Well, I think for me, it's like saying you are choosing the lesser of two evils or something. You get it? Why do you even have to give yourself that time to pay much attention to your skin, how it looks and all that? I mean, if you really take care of yourself very well, you bath regularly, you eat good food and all that, you don't need to, at the time at all, think of how to, improve the appearance of your skin. You get it? So for me, even though you may say the toning is a bit mild and the bleaching is the actual, whitening or lightening of the skin, I would say that it wouldn't be necessary at all. Even though there's a difference, there's a slight difference between
them. Even when you are just trying to restore your lost skin,
it's still wrong.
It's still wrong, yeah.
Well, let's see, who are you trying to please with that? Are you pleasing man or God?
Anyway, you think God may not necessarily be
at all interested
happy
in that.
With that. But why do people bleach, Lord?
Well, for me, I would say simply it's because of inferiority complex.
That's one of the reasons. Yeah,
I see everything is summed up in that. You don't like what you have. You feel so low esteemed as much as your appearance is concerned. Okay, so you think of how to improve it. So, God created us in different ways. The melanin that we talk about, which is the determinant of the skin pigment, is in aggregates and it's in different proportions and varies from what person to person. So we may be fair, okay, but your fairness is different from mine. Okay, so why would you want to, all right, inferiority? You think you don't measure up. You find a way of having people give you attention or prefer you or cherish you most. Example, back in the days when slavery was very active, when they captured the slaves, they look at their appearance, and then those who had lighter skins were made to work in the homes of their masters, and those who had darker skins were sent to the fields to work. And so it's like the lighter skinned ones were cherished much more than the darker skinned ones. Right from there, that slavery mentality, that if I don't look lighter, okay, I don't measure up, no one will cherish me, has been there. So the metal chains have been taken off us long ago, but the mental chains, okay, of looking fair in order to be cherished is still there. And we do things to what? Merit that. So you see somebody, saying that if you are going to church and you meet a white man, go back home because you have met your God. Something like that. Telling you that fairness or looking pale is to be preferred to looking dark. Okay, so inferiority complex, if you can take that off, there will not be any way somebody would think of skin bleaching.
Okay, so to Lord, it can all be summed up in the context of inferiority complex. Why people bleach? Anita?
Yes, just to add up, I wanted to also say that it also stems from the fact that men are attracted to fair-skinned
ladies. Is that a fact?
Most men.
Well,
I think because of the brightening nature,
I
from very far.
This from
okay, you actually think, because you see, to say something like that, I'm sure it must be within the context of a factual, statement. But perhaps
most
since we
men,
are not,
let me correct myself.
Okay,
most
sure.
men, I derive my stand from the fact that I see the reaction of men when a fair-skinned lady passes by. And you know that a fair-skinned lady cannot walk by without being noticed.
Sure.
And most women are bleaching because they want to be part of this attractive set of women. And most people bleach because they hear from their boyfriends and their husbands and their brothers how fair-skinned women are attractive. So why wouldn't I bleach in order to fit in order to, you know, receive those looks and those that praise from men? So much of it stems from the fact that most men are attracted to fair-skinned women. At least that's what the women think. And even today in our industries, whether movie industry, music industry, you realize that majority of those thriving are those who are light-skinned.
Mm, but what you are saying may create the impression that it is only women who bleach. Men,
No, I'm talking about generally.
So what about the men who bleach? Why do they bleach? To attract women equally.
Because, as I just said, a fair-skinned person cannot pass by unnoticed. You look once, you look again. Because that person is bright, I would say.
Okay, so you can't pass by unnoticed.
I don't consider myself fair.
Anyway,
though, most women, most of my friends say I am. I don't consider myself fair, honestly, because I come from a family that is quite fair. So when you meet me in the midst of my mom or my you consider me darker.
So the point is that on the side of men, on the side of women, it is to, you know, make themselves attractive. more attractive to the opposite sex.
And to gain more opportunities, whether a movie industry or even it is rumored that even in the banks or wherever, once you have that, you know, nice complexion, in quotes, they consider their fair skin to be nice complexion, you realize that they have an advantage over the dark skinned. And as you were saying, we are still in that mental chain of, you know, that even we have people who, even if I am chocolate, someone is dark, I will still find the pleasure in someone telling me that, oh, you are fairer than, you know, your sister or your brother. So it tells you that even in the darkest of darkest, there's somebody who takes pleasure in being fair.
So that sums it all up to the point Lord made of inferiority complex.
Exactly.
Similarly from the fact that fairness is more appreciated. But we will have to end it here. We'll continue on a subsequent edition of Youth Corner. My name is Afrenia Makeke, and I've been here with Anita Adombwache and Lord Lugard Webu. We have been looking at skin bleaching.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please write to Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 2087 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we are expecting your calls, emails and letters.
AWR, Voice of Hope. We will bring you joy. Keep hope alive.
AWR, Voice of Hope.
Stand up and be counted. The Lord is at hand. For you know we can't stay free if he's not in our land. Stand up and be counted, the time is at hand. Oh, what of our children's heritage if he's dishonored in our land?
nation to receive of the blessings of God, we must honor the precepts in His holy word. But if we should turn aside to the voice of the world, oh, would be sacrificed and disaster unfurled. Stand up and be counted. The Lord is
the only way to multiply happiness is to draw closer to God through His word. It is now time for Moment of Truth.
Calling for you and for me.
Calling for you and
see on the portal, He's waiting and watching. Watching for
once more again, we welcome you to Moment of Truth. Beloved in the Lord, let us bow as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, may you speak through me to reach every heart. Let your words be clear unto your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Moment of Truth brings you 5 steps to salvation. Beloved in the Lord, we all as human beings have fallen short of God's grace and of His glory, because all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So we all stand in the position called guilty. So it simply means every human being is guilty of one sin or the other. That is why the grace of God becomes important in our lives in the act of salvation. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 23 that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So we are doomed to die. But the grace of God brings eternal life. Though we all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, it simply means no human being actually have inherited or possesses salvation. We need it from outside ourselves. And salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. When we believe Him and take Him as a personal Savior, we do not possess it. It does not come by works, but it comes by the grace of God, and it's a gift of God given freely to all those who believe it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by His grace, and by His grace alone. When we believe that Jesus can save me, no matter my situation, no matter how I'm lost in sin, no matter how sin have destroyed even the virtue and the image of God in me, if I can believe and turn back to Jesus, He says He can make me clean and make me pure and make me holy again. How are we able to do it? 5 steps are needed. 1, we need to believe in Jesus Christ. In John 3 verse 16, there the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever, it doesn't matter your situation, doesn't matter the sins you have committed, doesn't matter how far you've gone away from God, doesn't matter how people have looked upon you and said you are good for nothing, but Jesus said, whosoever believeth will not die. He will have eternal life. That divine person, that God, Jesus Christ, died and gave His life as an atonement for you and me. Luke 19 verse 10 says, He came to seek and to save those who are lost. So if you think you are good for nothing, you are lost, remember, for your sake, Jesus came, and there is a Savior for you. That's a good news for you here at this point of time, that you have a Savior, because He came to seek people just like you and I. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, there's good news there. The Bible says, God demonstrated His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, while we were still lost in our sins, in our gossip, in our envy, in our jealousy, in our hatred, in our fornication, adultery, Jesus died for us.
Not that we have stopped sinning, but his grace, his love was shown towards us in the midst of our sins. Jesus died to save somebody like me and to save somebody like you. Beloved in the Lord. For that reason, we have to believe in his atoning sacrifice. That if I come to him, he will in no wise cast me out because I am a sinner. But because he died for me and he loves me, he will give me power to overcome my sins and to be able to live now a life acceptable in his sight. Romans chapter 13 verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust thereof. When we come to him and believe in him, he takes control over our lives. And we are supposed not to make any extra provision for the flesh because we have become God's children. Number two, we need to repent from our sins. When you believe in him, you see how loving he is unto you. He says, my son, my daughter, repent. You say, how can I repent? Repentance itself is a gift of God. If you desire to live a new life, God empowers you and you begin to hate your very self. The sin that easily beset you, that you have lied in it for a longer time, you begin to hate it. And God leads us on to repentance. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance is not a barrier to come to Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we believe and we come, God gives us repentance, but we need to accept it. And when we accept it, he forgives us and he grants us his Holy Spirit. What is repentance? It is sorrow for our sins, a godly sorrow. And we turn our back to our former ways. We become new creation. When David sinned in the sin of Bathsheba, he said, God, create in me a clean heart and renew also in me a right spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. When we come to God in the humbleness of our heart, oh, he transforms us. He gives us that willing spirit and he leads us unto repentance when we come unto him. Number three, we need to confess our sins. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, there Jesus says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all our sins. So when we come to him and we confess, we tell him all the sins that we have committed, our rebelliousness, our anger, our impatience, whatever that stands against his perfect will, and we've confessed our sins unto him, he says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Does not matter the sins you have committed, the promise of God stands true and perfect, unchanging, as solid as a rock, which never changes. Beloved in the Lord, in the book of Leviticus 5 verse 5, Abu tells us how we ought to confess. He says, and it shall be when he is guilty in any of these matters that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. We point out the actual sin. If we stole something, we point it out. If you actually fornicated, you point it out. That very sin that you have committed, and God says, I, the Lord, I will forgive. Point number four, we need to be born again. To be born again is to be born from above. It's to be born by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, there the Bible says to each one of us who needeth salvation, truly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be born by the Spirit, to be born from above, to be given a new heart, a heart that hates sin, that hates all our evil ways, and to live in the newness of life. Point number five is to become obedient to the will of God. Ezekiel 36, 26, the God says, I will give you a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, to keep my judgment and to do them. And as we follow this step by the grace of God, we are led into the path of salvation. May God bless you. May he strengthen you. In Jesus' name, this is your servant, Pastor G.Y. Agboadu. Amen.
This is Adventist World Radio Ghana, Voice of Hope. If you need further information or study materials on issues we have discussed, please contact us on Adventist World Radio Ghana, Valley View University, P.O. Box AF-595, Adenta, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Or if you have access to the internet, send us an email through radio@vvu.edu.gh. Or better still, you can call us on +233 3070 51 058 or +233 20 87 04 532. If our lines are busy, don't give up. Just keep on trying, for we're expecting your calls, emails, and letters. My dear listener, I believe you have been blessed by our programs. Keep pondering over lessons learned from our magazines to stay blessed. Enjoy the rest of your day. I have been your presenter, Emanuela Brifumensa. Bye for now.